So Aaron's going to be on and off for the lights for me. So off now, thank you. He's going to be the man because we're going to look at some pictures. So and they're night sky pictures. So how many of you have seen some of the northern lights that have been going on? Anybody had some amazing views? I pulled a few extra good ones from the news. I haven't seen them so much personally, but I've enjoyed the pictures. Here's a few beautiful ones. Evidently, the northern lights are something it's harder to see with your naked eye and better with the camera. Isn't that funny? So as we continue with the idea of night skies, over the years, I have seen and enjoyed pictures from the Hubble telescope. Now, I'm going to show you a few images and tell you what they are. You definitely cannot see these with the naked eye. This is called the Pillars of Creation. These are gas clouds and dark cosmic dust. And the little bright bits you see then are stars. The next one is called the Rose of the Galaxy. And it is it's a pair of interacting galaxies. And this photo was released at the 21st anniversary of Hubble. This one here is a region of star-forming space in the Milky Way galaxy that has an impressive mass of young stars, all that blue, bright light. The next one, this is called the Hubble Ultra Deep Field. If you can get it big and look at it, every single one of those clusters that look like stars are not. Those are galaxies. Those are galaxies. There's nearly 10,000 galaxies visible. This image is 800 exposures taken over the course of 400 orbits of Earth by the Hubble telescope. It is amazing. And then the last one is new stars, those really, really bright lights coming through the gas clouds. Again, those are the newest, brightest stars out there in the galaxy. Okay, we can have the lights on again. Thank you. Well, so that is awesome. We're going to move to think about the book of Colossians. Those images that we saw give us some powerful, insightful, beautiful things that are often maybe out of our sight. And as we think about the book of Colossians, it too is a book filled with amazing images and truths of reality, both in a spiritual sense and realities that have come right down to earth and into our lives. There's powerful truths about Jesus and what it means to follow him. I'm going to give you a little map for today because it's a little bit different in format. We're going to do two different things with two different passages from Colossians, the first from chapter 1 and then from chapter 3. The first part is going to involve some quiet, some music, some images, and a poem from Colossians 1. The second part is going to be more interactive. We're going to get in our small groups. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, and then there'll be the response time at the end, which will include communion when the children come back in. So to help us along a little bit, I'm going to give us some background about our text. But primarily, I hope today that the texts in Scripture will speak to you, to me, to each of us. We believe that the Bible is God's message to humanity and that it can speak to us and meet us right where we're at, wherever that might be. So I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to ask that God's presence in the person that we call Spirit or the Holy Spirit, who is God and is here right now, will speak to us through these sections of Scripture. So let's pray. Our loving Creator God, who sent your Son Jesus to come to people and is by your Spirit present with us right now, you who are available to each one of us, we ask that you would speak to us about who you are and about what you want for our lives. Thank you for the gift that we have in being able to read your word together in this place today. Amen. All right, as a bit of background, Colossians is a letter that a chap named Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Colossae. He's writing from jail, again. Paul's in prison because he's going around announcing to anyone who will listen, and probably a few who wouldn't, that this man Jesus from this place, Nazareth, was in fact the Christ or the Messiah, which is a title for the anointed and waited king that the Bible had been talking about and the people of God in the Old Testament had been waiting for. Well, it didn't go over real well with top government officials like Caesar, who said, hey, I'm king, me, just me. So in the first century world, when Paul goes around and announces, hey, there's a king, and he's available to you, his name is Jesus, and he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, it caused a bit of a stir. And so with some regularity, Paul ends up in jail. So Paul writes to this group of Christians about Jesus. A part of what he writes is in a poem in the first chapter of the book. And he says, in this chapter, in this section, which we are going to hear in a few minutes, he says, this Jesus is king over everything. This passage has two stanzas in the poem. I will, as ever, you might get tired of me doing this, but I'm going to recommend the Bible Project overview on Colossians is amazing. Rather than show it, because it's a lot to take in, I'm going to just share a little bit about the poem from the video and from other sources, but you could go check it out yourself. So in this short six verses, the poem is filled with language and imagery from the books of Genesis, from Exodus, from the Psalms. It talks about how Jesus is the true image of God, that Jesus himself has the full nature and purpose of God, and he came to earth as a human being. And as such a human, Jesus is the first, or some versions say the firstborn, which is this Old Testament phrase about Jesus' royal status as king over creation. And that means that Jesus shares the very nature and identity as the Creator God. The poem talks about how all the powers and authorities, human and spiritual, they were all created through Jesus. This poem has truths of cosmic proportions. We see these images from the Hubble telescope, but let's take a minute to think about that. Paul is writing about the God who made the stars and who created us. The poem goes on to say that Jesus is the author of creation, the king of all creation, and that he is going to bring a new creation. It says he's the head of the new body, and when he's talking about this body, he means the body of Jesus' new people. This body is going to be a new kind of human, a new kind of humanity, of which Jesus is the first example. And God's very presence lives in Jesus, just like God lived in his presence in the temple. And then he says, God is making all things right between himself and people, and he's setting all things right between all spiritual powers, everything through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So, for this passage, we're going to hear this poem in two different Bible versions. The first is the New Living Translation. It's contemporary, but it has some familiar Bible language. The second is the Message version, which is maybe more contemporary and might help us hear it differently. To facilitate us listening, our two lovely readers are going to come on up for us. I am going to have the lights go down, and we're going to have a video which has some music and some images, if that's helpful to you. If it's more helpful to you to close your eyes and just listen to the words, then I'd encourage you to do that. If you're a person who enjoys the art and drawing while you listen, then please do that. So we're going to turn the lights down. I'm going to give you a few seconds of quiet, and then we'll have our readings.
Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross.
We look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above, above everyone, above everything. So spacious is he, so expansive, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross.
you. You can do the lights. That was a lot of listening and a lot of reflection. And I hope that that scripture, by the power of the Spirit, spoke something to you. We're going to go into small groups in a couple minutes, but what I'd like you to do at the moment, if you would, is just take 30 seconds and stand up and stretch and maybe say, if you would like to, say to someone near you a word or a phrase that you appreciated in the poem we just heard. So 30 seconds, just stay where you are, stand up. If you'd like to comment on something to a neighbor. Okay, I'd like to wind up your chats. So again, this bit, you're going to do the hard work, but I'm going to do a little introduction as a place to start. We're going to look at chapter 3 of verses 1 to 17. Now, Paul's written about this huge cosmic idea, the significance of Jesus as the risen king of the universe. But then we have to say, okay, what then? So what? All right, if this is true, then what do we do? What does it mean? If, then. I think it's a kind of pattern we can see as we follow Paul through this letter. He's speaking to believers about living out this reality of being a new kind of human, changed and transformed by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So through chapter 2, Paul has spoken about trying to follow the laws given in the Old Testament. Paul is trying to encourage the believers in his letter that they have the power of Jesus' resurrection in them to transform them from the inside out, their hearts and minds, the way they think, the way they behave, the way they live. And so following Jesus is to become this new kind of humanity as they and as we live out life from this new perspective with Jesus. Paul uses the phrase, set your minds on things above, or heavenly things, which is just a way of saying where God is and where his ways are already being done. One day, this will be true of our world as well, when God comes and everything is transformed. Our job is to live as if it's true now. You know how we noted that in the Northern Lights, and certainly with the Hubble images, these big, beautiful, real, but sometimes hard or even impossible to see with our normal vision realities. Paul is encouraging us to look and say, live and look with a different kind of vision. Live as a new humanity. Live as a new kind of life that's transformed from the inside out by the real powerful presence of Jesus at work in you. So Paul looks and is chatting with these believers in this letter. What does it look like? How does it apply? How does it change your attitudes and your behaviors? What's it going to look like? That's what you're going to do in your small groups. So we're going to get in small groups in a second. Each group, there's three sets of questions. I don't know how many we'll have. I've got plenty of papers with the instructions on it. Each paper has a small section of Colossians 3 in two different versions, so you can think about it. There's a couple of questions for you to reflect on, or whatever comes up from those verses in your group. So I would like you to, in a second, turn to a few people around you. I'd encourage you to try to make your groups not more than five or six. This is where our GVC folks get to be really hospitable and invite others into it. There's no obligation to participate. You can certainly either stay where you are or just sit in the group and listen to what's going on. I'm going to give you 5 minutes in the group. While you organize yourselves into some small groups, I'm going to pass out the papers, and at the end of your 5 minutes, I'm going to come around and hear what y'all had to say about these verses in Colossians 3. Okay? Go.
There we go.
All right. Who had group questions one? Group questions one. Questions number one. All right. So, what would be something you guys chatted about that was interesting? Anybody?
We thought that God was in the restoration business, so he was restoring all things to himself, whether we see it or we don't, because that was in response to the question around what do you think God is actually doing in the world. But that is in through everything that's happening.
The passage summarized that if you've been raised with Christ, then put your thoughts on things above. So don't just look at the earth itself, but think about God working through that. And so one of the things we were just talking about, that vision of God at work. So like Ryan was talking at the coffee or doing emails or whatever, that God's in the midst of all that stuff and not just Sunday services.
Another group one questions? No? Small group questions one? There were yep. Any thoughts there you wanted to share that you came out from your group? We'll come back to that. Group two. Who had group two? There we go. Thoughts?
So we kind of had the section on removing the kind of old way of life, like impure thoughts, like kind of, yeah, those like negative things. And we were kind of looking at, I think the Message version like compares it to like having a wardrobe, and like actually like you can say do a spring clean and like clear out your wardrobe and the old bits that have like got holes in, and you eventually, you know, the season will change and you need to keep kind of renewing those, like, that those clothes. And actually it's a thing that we need to keep working on continually. It's not just like, okay, you're sorted now. It's like something to like actively work at. But yeah, that was one of our.
Great. Anything else from your group that you wanted to share? Great. Anybody else do questions two?
Yeah, adding on to that in terms of the idea of clothing, the looks we all put clothing on today, that's good. And that involves a choice, and very likely it wasn't the same thing you wore yesterday. So it's like every day you're making a choice to live in what you have and or what you've been given and what God has given you. And so that's a thing about how God is changing us. It's a daily choice of something we put on. And also, it's a longer-term process. You know, didn't get dressed once, and I'm done. No, everyday thing. And then it was also the idea of it's a lot of small choices along the way. It's not a dramatic thing. Gosh, I've got to put my shoes on again. Or the idea of being kind or saying I'm sorry. Those are huge. Those are huge. And so there we go.
Thank you very much. Group three, group three, group three.
So we talked about how Paul describes all barriers between people as obsolete. There are no divisions. And we talked a bit about what divisions look like in our society today. We mentioned in Britain, class comes up a lot. And then back to the theme of clothes, we then have a list of the clothes that we should put on, which ones we thought was particularly appropriate for our society. And we felt that the ones that allow us to overcome divisions and allow us to build bridges with people who have different opinions to us and our increasingly polarized society, how we reach out to people who live different lives, think different things, and feel quite strongly about those. And the clothes that are most helpful for doing that. So we talked about love and forgiveness and being content with second place.
Great. Any other group threes want to share? Were you a group three? Anything you'd like to share with us?
Do you want me to talk or do you want to talk?
I can start. So we were looking, this talked about sort of us and our sort of new life. And sort of particularly the last question, it was talking about how love was listed as a key quality and how it affects and empowers the other sort of qualities and attributes God has set out for us in terms of compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength and discipline. And I think how that sort of love can sort of bind those attributes all together. And
we talked about how, where was it? Making allowance for each other's faults is challenging because we live in such a polarized world at times, and that having that grace to either admit that you're wrong or let grace cover over somebody else's wrongdoing is something that is difficult to find sometimes, and in these church communities we want to exemplify it.
Yeah. Great. Y'all did an amazing job. Give yourselves a round of applause. That was so good. Well done, everybody. The children can come in, and while the children come in and find their adult, I'm just going to read the very last verses from our passage. So if the grown-ups come in and then Ryan's going to take over. Okay, yeah, there we go. So let the message of Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankful hearts, and whatever you say or do, do as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through the Father. Amen.
Thanks, Diane. If we can give you a round of applause, that would be good.